Radio Prague News.
Antonín Prachař of the ANO party has resigned as Minister of Transport. The government has announced its plan to abolish the second pillar of the pension insurance scheme by January 2016. And pharmacies in the Czech Republic have begun selling medical marijuana on prescriptions. Antonín Prachař has resigned as Minister of Transport. The head of his ANO party, Andrej Babiš, announced on Wednesday. Mr. Prachař becomes the second member of the Social Democrats-led cabinet to leave office after Věra Jourová, who became a European commissioner. Mr. Babiš said he would nominate as his replacement Dan Ťok, who works for the company Skanska and is active in the American Chamber of Commerce. Mr. Prachař had been criticized both by his own party chief and the Social Democrats leader Bohuslav Sobotka. The government on Wednesday announced its plan to abolish the second pillar of the pension insurance scheme introduced by the former centre-right cabinet of Prime Minister Petr Nečas by January 2016. The so-called second pillar of the pension scheme allows people to put part of their pension funds into private insurance companies. Bohuslav Sobotka told the Czech news agency on Wednesday that the scheme was disadvantageous for the vast majority of people and there was very little interest in it. People who joined the second pillar should get their investments back by the end of 2016. Scrapping the second pillar of the pension scheme was one of the election promises of the ruling coalition. Pharmacies in the Czech Republic have begun selling medical marijuana on prescription. So far, the drug, which goes for around 300 crowns a gram, is available only at one chemist's in Prague and one in the South Moravian town of Uherské Hradiště. The marijuana, which was legalized last year, can only be acquired using an electronic prescription and is provided to people suffering from multiple sclerosis, chronic pain and other ailments. Influential businessman Roman Janoušek, who is due to serve 4.5 years in jail over a hit-and-run incident, is seeking to postpone serving his sentence for medical reasons. Lidové noviny reported on Wednesday that Mr. Janoušek had a letter from hospital chief and former senator Vladimír Dryml recommending he undergo a brain operation prior to entering prison and recommending that judges think twice before making him serve the sentence. Any blow to the head could lead to extensive hemorrhaging, the document states. The businessman's hit-and-run incident came in 2012, days after a daily published wiretaps giving the impression that he had held such influence over politicians and officials in Prague that he was a kind of shadow mayor. The government on Wednesday is set to debate the annual report on the Czech environment published by the Environment Ministry. According to the report, the environment has been slightly improving over the recent years, with cleaner water and increasing number of households connected to a public sewage system with wastewater treatment plants. One of the persisting problems highlighted by the report is poor air quality, which is affecting especially the heavy industrialized Moravia and Silesia. Air pollution is a problem especially in the winter months when the situation gets worse due to city transport and coal heating. A court in Liberec on Wednesday starts dealing with the case of Jaroslav Barták, a doctor serving a 12-year jail term for the rape and blackmail of his assistants, who is also charged with conspiracy to murder. The state attorney says the 56-year-old Barták planned 3 killings while he was in custody in Liberec at the end of last year. If found guilty, he could face 15 to 20 years in prison. Dr. Barták was allegedly planning to murder the former military intelligence chief Andor Sándor, lawyer Oldřich Choděra and Orthodox priest Eugene Freiman. My name is Ruth Franková and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Jelani Spencer-Joe. Coming up in today's program, the Czech transport minister resigns from office, and we look at how Czechs feel about the fall of communism 25 years on. Later on in Marketplace, we look at how ebooks are doing on the Czech book market. All that coming up, so please stay with us. Antonín Prachař of ANO has resigned as Minister of Transport, the party's leader Andrej Babiš announced on Wednesday morning. The move comes in the wake of extensive criticism, including from within ANO, over Mr. Prahash's handling of both personal matters and road-building projects. Ian Willoughby reports.
Antonin Prakash becomes the second minister to exit the centre-left Czech government, appointed at the end of January. The first, another ANO appointee, Věra Jourová, resigned to take up a post as European Commissioner. Mr. Prakash's cabinet career has come to an end in rather different circumstances. Following very public criticism from both Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka of the Social Democrats and ANO chief Andrej Babiš. The 51-year-old, formerly vice president of a National Association of Hauliers, was accused of causing chaos at the Ministry of Transport. This included delays in major motorway construction projects, as well as foot-dragging over the selection of a manager to oversee a road toll strategy. Mr. Prakash was also condemned for a number of personnel shake-ups. The latest came at the start of this week when he removed the director of Czech Railways. After months of searching, he was also unable to find a new boss for the agency that oversees the country's road network. Standing alongside Mr. Prakash at a news conference on Wednesday, the ANO chief thanked him, saying he had done his best. However, the minister's best clearly wasn't good enough for Mr. Babiš.
The Ministry of Transport has been in a desperate state for ages. It's been in decline for some time. Motorways have not been built, land for motorway construction hasn't been purchased, projects haven't been prepared. It was the same with the Roads and Motorways Directorate, and we've had to deal with similar issues at Czech Railways Cargo and Czech Railways.
Looking nervous, Antonín Prakáš told reporters he was planning to return to the private sector after less than a year in politics.
Recently, I have really become the target of speculation surrounding the Roads and Motorways Directorate, even though in the view of the public, it's now working better than it has in years. But I don't want to be the target of the opposition and the media. I think that situation does not benefit the Ministry of Transport, me personally, or ANO.
Within seconds of Mr. Prakash's address, Mr. Babiš announced his replacement. He's said to be Dan Tjok, hitherto CEO of construction company Skanska. The ANO boss said he was aware experts with, as he put it, an opinion on everything would question the choice. However, Mr. Tjok may well face charges of conflict of interest, given that Skanska is one of the biggest players in road building in the Czech Republic.
My thanks to Ian Willoughby for that report. Moving on now, a new public perception survey by the Public Opinion Research Center, CVVM, conducted on the 25th anniversary of the Velvet Revolution, has revealed that around a sixth of Czechs still long for a return to communism, while they are equally split on whether their country's current politics is moving the country forward. Dominic Yoon has the details.
It's an almost even split, but surprisingly, for a country in which cynicism often rules, a plurality of Czechs are happy with the current political situation in the Czech Republic. 48% to 47% dissatisfied. So says a major new study conducted by the Public Opinion Research Centre, conducted in conjunction with four post-communist Central European countries, namely Slovakia, Poland and Hungary. Among the findings are that 17% of Czechs would like to see a return to communism, up 5% on a 2004 study, with 77% decidedly against the idea. Overall, 61% of Czechs viewed the Velvet Revolution as a positive development. In Slovakia, only 58% of citizens viewed the ending of communism in the same light. Paulina Tabery, a postgraduate student taking part in the study, spoke to Czech radio.
Perceptions regarding the Velvet Revolution are comparable to how people view the First Republic, which has in the past come in first or second in terms of the most positive events the country has experienced. The fact that three-fifths of people view the Velvet Revolution positively means that it has become a kind of star event in Czech history, similar to the creation of Czechoslovakia.
The study also found that the elderly in particular are a largely dissatisfied group in the Czech Republic, viewing negatively both the political and economic development of the country. Interestingly, the study also found that those of a right-of-centre political inclination were more satisfied with the direction of the country than those of a left-of-centre inclination. Tabory spoke of the decidedly mixed response by Czechs to issues of the ability of the state to take care of its citizens.
Social certainties, the safety of citizens or work opportunities were all viewed very critically. So overall, people see that in a democratic system, the package of social certainties is viewed as in some way being problematic.
Overall, only 14% of Czechs are satisfied with the economic situation of the country, according to the survey, while in Poland the number was the highest of the countries surveyed, with 25% satisfied. Only 8% of Hungarians were happy with the economic state of their country. The surveys also went into detail on public perceptions related to issues such as material goods, values and hope for the future. In the Czech Republic, the CCVM study found that 2/5 of Czechs viewed their own material situations as either good or very good, although the elderly and unemployed did not, as a majority, share this view.
Dominic Yoon reporting. A reminder that you are with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it is now time for our main feature, Marketplace. E-books have been slow to take off in the Czech Republic, with taxes, a local penchant for piracy, and caution from some of the traditional print publishers, some of the factors in its slow rollout. But the optimists are still sticking to the script that e-books can elbow themselves a much greater share of the market. Chris Johnson has more in this edition of Marketplace.
The Czech Republic's flagship annual book fair launched last week in Prague's Art Deco exhibition grounds. And if the clock was turned back 100 years or so to fit the decor, the participants might not have been all that much surprised. Traditional books in all shapes and sizes predominated. In spite of the impression sometimes given from trips on Prague's metro or trams, electronic or e-books were something of a sideshow. That's not the case in what could be regarded as advanced e-book markets, such as the United States and United Kingdom. Here, e-books are reckoned to have cornered around 20% of the new book market, with some putting the figure even higher. Most major publishers now straddle the traditional print and e-books markets. In major continental European markets, such as Germany and France, e-books are believed to have developed a lot slower, with estimates putting the market at between 3 and 5% of total book sales. It's pretty safe to say that the Czech e-book market has not evolved as fast as some of those who jumped into the market around 5 years ago might have expected. According to one estimate by a market participant, the Czech market for e-books is about as big as the Czech market for dried tomatoes. That's not too big, but its backers and believers are still convinced that it can make substantial inroads into the share of its almost 600-year-old print and paper rival. Antonín Chadima could be regarded as one of the pioneers after transferring from traditional publishing to e-books at the start of 2012, when the traditional Pilsen-based Czech publishing house Fraus launched into the new medium. Fraus Media, which has won awards for its textbooks used in Czech schools, started by largely seeking to produce the same sort of content for e-books, but its ambitions have now broadened. Project manager Mr. Chadima takes up the story, with the publisher already offering around 3,000 e-titles and electronic sales at around 200,000 a year.
We have a quite big market with fiction and crime, 50 Shades of Grey. It's what's most sold in the e-book form. We are a company which is selling textbooks, and we have quite a good success with selling textbooks into schools. It's about 10% of the revenue of the company. We have quite a good success and quite a lot of money of selling textbooks, but we are going further. We want to step into the market of selling normal books, non-fiction, and we're looking to sell more non-fiction books, than fiction.
In a way, the e-book format can lend itself better to non-fiction than fiction, with the interactive applications such as voice and video built into the book to give extra details at the click of a mouse. But the costs of building in these extra sophistication can rapidly add to the cost of publishing e-books. At the moment, according to Mr. Kadima, the costs of publishing conventional books and e-books are roughly the same, and the final prices should be in the same ballpark area. Paper accounts for just 10% of the cost of creating normal printed books, so there's not much of an advantage from the savings there. He sees the way forward in producing more sophisticated versions of e-books that can offer the readers a lot more than the paper equivalent.
Sometimes it's easy to make a plain e-book from fiction, but it's challenging when you want to make a book for non-fiction with lots of images, maybe videos which are on a CD-ROM in the printed book, or even if you want to make an e-book from art book. It's the books we want to sell. That's why we don't just say to the publishers, just give us the books, we will sell them. We want to give them a full service. We offer them a service. We want to help them with preparing the books, with marketizing the books, marketing, and with selling the books. It's the way how to convince them to produce e-books, because they mostly don't produce e-books at this time. At the same time, the users want the books, they are asking for the books.
The sluggish takeoff of e-books has some very specific Czech causes. One of them is the fact that the higher rate of value-added tax was recently put on books, paper and electronic, across the board. While there are preparations well in train for the tax rate on the paper version to come down to the lower 15%, it looks like the higher level for electronic books could remain in place. Antonin Kadima again.
There was activity, political activity, to get down the tax for the tax rates for the printed books, but they didn't include the e-books. It was just for the printed books. We will have to do a similar action later on for e-books.
There is also a more insidious problem with the development of the market, and that's the Czech habit of believing that everything can be downloaded should not have a price tag, but should be available for free. In this case, there are some market models which hold out the promise that this trait can be tackled.
We have a bigger rate of piracy of illegal e-books than Russia, one of the countries which has the biggest rates of illegal e-books. And it's quite a problem for the publishers and for the e-book sellers. One of the models, one of the ways how to make money, how to sell e-books in such conditions, is to lower the price. The customer is expecting a lower price. He can download an illegal book or buy a book. He mostly decides to take the illegal book, but it takes him more time. He has to find it somewhere, Google it out, and so on. But if I give them customer service where he can buy books for very low prices or for subscription, for yearly subscription, and I give him the books in categories and very easy to use, then he will use my services. But then I have to use advertisements to get the money, not from the customer, okay, from the companies which are giving the advertising. This is one of the models which seems to be very successful, and I think it's the same not just in Czech Republic. Those models are used now in the world.
It should be mentioned perhaps that it's estimated that 70% of e-books in Russia are pirate versions. The more complicated versions of e-books have another advantage as well, as the premium price they can command, and that's the fact they're a lot less liable to the predations of the pirate. Antonin Kadima.
Another possibility how to sell successfully e-books is to sell interactive, enriched, multimedia e-books which cannot copy them so easy, you cannot share them so easy, and maybe you can get out the text but not the interactivity or the video or the multimedia. You can even ask for a higher price than the printed book, for an enriched book, and those books are quite successful on iBooks, iStore, iTunes, and they are successful too on our own platform, Flexibooks, and I think it's one of the ways to go.
E-books have perhaps another marketing factor in their favour as well. Most of those willing to switch from printed books or buy both formats are younger people, mostly below the age of 40. These are also the group which is most approachable by low-cost social media. Indeed, some specialist e-book publishers, such as Knihas Lin, have specialised in publicising new titles, making special offers and targeting readers likely to be susceptible to certain types of books via Facebook, Twitter and YouTube. Knihas Lin, founded in 2004, has been using social media big time for its marketing for the last 4 or 5 years. Its annual sales of e-books are around 20,000 a year. That's still small, but the company believes there's still plenty of room for growth, albeit at perhaps a slower rate than it might have hoped for at first.
That edition of Marketplace was first aired in May of this year, and I'm afraid that brings us to the end of today's program from Prague. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then please write to English@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you. This is Jelani Spencer-Joe saying thanks for joining us and goodbye.